girl. Some girl can't hold them on. 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 Some girl.
This is my story.
What up, what up, what up, and welcome to Don't Bite Your Tongue. We are on the air, y'all. This Sunday, we are here through it all, thick and thin. We right here, right now. And with me, I got my ride or die, Widow. What's up, girl?
What's going on, everybody? Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday. Let's do it. I'm so sleepy. Jesus.
No problem.
I'm trying to get my energy level up. Is it coming through, y'all? Is it coming through? I hope it's coming through for you. That I'm here. I'm energized. I'm with you. I'm doing the doggone thing. You know what I'm saying? But really, as soon as we are over on this show, I am going to hit the pillow hard. I'm going to be slobbering. Going to be creasing my face. It's going to be just like that. Trust and believe. So how y'all doing this Sunday? How you doing, Widow?
I'm tired as hell. I think I went to sleep about 1 something, got up about 4:30 something, and I've been up ever since.
Yeah, you
but I have to go to work
pump
tonight, and I got to be there at 11.
Look, you're going to make me
sleep. Does it sound low? Does it sound like
you're
that?
Like, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you like, so, yeah. You know what you sound like? You sound like you got, like, Erykah Badu incense going on.
I do, though.
But, yeah.
I got some incense going on. They nice. I just got them today, y'all.
Wait, where you get my? You know where I get my incense from?
Five
or
below.
No. I go on eBay, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I get like, and I'm not exaggerating. I get like 500 incense. You get different fragrances. Like you get to pick your fragrances. 500 incense. Guess how much? Guess.
$2.
$20. No, $2.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a deal. No, $20. $20. And they laugh.
But how you
like
know what they smell like?
Well, because you kind of know. It's kind of like ocean breeze. Okay, well, we kind of know what ocean breeze. That's going to be a nice, crisp, you know what I'm saying? Sex on the beach. You know, it's a fruity drink. It's a fruity smell. So you kind of got to go by that. Some of them, they have, like, powder fresh. You know, some of the times the incense give it away. You know what I mean? The title, the name of the incense, the scent gives it away.
Yeah, but how
I'm
you
like,
know it's
okay.
Going to smell like that, though? How you know it's not going to be different and then mess up?
It's $20 for 500. I mean, hell, don't burn them no more then. You know what I mean? And then the thing of it is you can split them up. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can get a bunch for 20 smelling this way, 20 another. Like, you can split it up like that. So,
okay.
I would suggest that everybody go to eBay. I'm an eBay shopper. I'm a Craigslist shopper. I'm a resale store shopper. I get it done. Do you hear what I'm talking about? Y'all hear my baby calling me? I got my grandkids here. Normally, they're not here. So let me just say this before we keep going. You probably going to hear some cheering in the background. They're my babies. They still here. So just bear with us, okay? Okay. So, Widow, tell me about your week, girl. Tell me what happened.
Ain't shit happened this week. I just been working. And I got to work tonight at 11 o'clock.
Yes, honey.
So,
I'm
tired.
I feel you.
So I will try to fake it for y'all. But my body, like, fuck that. Y'all gonna have to take me as I am.
Yeah, my week has been, it's been interesting. My grandfather passed this week. And so I've been off work, really. This week has just been kind of disconnected for me because I was really off Monday and Tuesday. Then my grandfather passed on Wednesday. Been off Thursday and Friday. And then coming up this week, it's going to be a short week as well. I'll be off. Because my little baby, Michi, is getting those tubes put in his ear on Wednesday. So I'll be off for 3 days caring, you know, taking care of him. And then the funeral is Friday. So, it's, you know, it's just a crazy 2 weeks. It's like disconnected. It's been nothing normal for the past 2 weeks. So I'm just really trying to find the balance of this week is really what I'm trying to go through. But, yes, my grandfather passed, Johnny J. Glenn, Sr., and wonderful, wonderful, wonderful man. And he's gone on to glory. We had him for 98 years. I mean, I hope and pray that I get to say that I've been here that long. You know what I'm saying? And even more impactful was his homegoing, which really it was. He was able to go children surrounding him and his grandchildren, and it was peaceful. It was a peaceful situation, no machines, and he just kind of transitioned. And I can just say for me, like, I've basically seen all of it from life aspects, meaning I've seen a child be born, and I've seen someone take their last breath in this world, and both of them are truly humbling experiences. I'll tell you that. They're very humbling experiences. So RIP, Johnny J. Glenn. We'll be celebrating your life and your accomplishments this Friday coming up. It's going to be at Boston Temple. That was like our home church when we were kids. Like, that was the first church we went to, and a huge church. It's over in Hodelon and Martin Luther King, somewhere over there. But that's our church home. So we're going to have the services there Friday. 9 o'clock is the wake. 10 o'clock is the services. And the burial will be at Jefferson Barracks. So those of you who are listening, who plan to attend, who didn't know the arrangements, those are the arrangements. So, and I have a little cough, so excuse me for all of that. And I've been taking, you know, who was it that told me to take some damn Theraflu? Theraflu is like heroin. I took that shit, I'm sitting on the toilet, I'm drinking it, you know, sipping the little heroin. That's what I call it. And as I start leaning, Cheryl, to the side, I'm like, wait a minute. What's happening right now? And it was a nighttime therapy, so some other shit in there to make you kind of chill out.
Mm.
I was leaning straight to the side, like side, front, back, from side to side. I had to lay down. And what was so damn funny is I thought I had gotten completely undressed and got into bed. When my husband came home, I was, the bottom of me was nude and the top of me was business clothes. I don't know what happened. He's like, what are you doing? Oh, I thought I finished. My bad. My bad.
Didn't
mean to move nobody walking in the room. My bad. But yeah, so I'm in that therapy, honey. I've got some Alka-Seltzer Plus, and I hope that helps. I don't know. It don't seem like it. Maybe it does, because I had been coughing. But you know, when you have this upper respiratory thing, it's always worse in the morning and at night. That's when you have the blues with it, for real, you know?
Yeah.
So, oh, boy. Okay, so this is what we're going to talk about today. This is the Internet Buzz Part 2, and we want to talk about what's been going on. Like, I put a lot of topics out there, and we may get to all of them, but it's been so much crap in the news lately where you just can't hardly keep up with everything. And all the police stories, I mean, I posted on Facebook. It's like, is it just too much shit to keep up with? Every day, it's not even every week. You used to say every week or every month you would hear crazy stories about interactions with the police or whatever. Now, it's every day, and it's multiple situations every single day. So we'll talk about some of those. We'll talk about Walter Scott being shot in the back by a police officer in South Carolina. We're going to talk about a woman who called 911 to get police assistance, and she was shot and killed by them when she answered the damn door. Oh, and just recently today, a gentleman was shot in Oklahoma, shot by a police officer, but oops, damn, he wasn't trying to shoot him. He was really reaching for his taser and fucked up and pulled his gun and shot the man. Really? Mm-hmm. And he said, oops, sorry, Yeah, you about the damn Barney's Fifers looking fucking police I ever seen. So let's jump off into our topics, y'all. So the first one we're going to talk about, there's been a lot of conversation in Missouri proposing food stamp purchase restrictions. Really? What you got on there, widow?
It's ridiculous. What's his name? Rick? I don't have his last name, y'all. I apologize. And I don't apologize, because we don't call this motherfucker Rick, because he don't earn the respect of having the last name put out there. But this motherfucker is a representative Republican of Missouri. And
no,
he
a Republican?
Says that,
really?
I'm shocked. Who knew, right?
Right.
He states that food stamps are just being spent all willy-nilly on luxury items. You don't need no damn chips. What you need a soda for? Fuck you eating a cookie. You on food stamps, motherfucker. You don't need none of that. You don't need no seafood or steak, mother. No, you ain't getting no steak. So he all like, y'all don't need to eat certain shit. So I'm going to go ahead and put this law through so y'all can buy what I say y'all need. And I think he's just a little salty because on his it was an interview, but it was on the audio. He stated that if his family received stamps, they would get over $1,000 a month, and he does not see how any family can spend $1,000 a month on food. What y'all eat? How often do y'all eat? Are you maybe Child Protective Services need to come to your house because maybe your kids are starving. I don't know. I think he's just an asshole, and I don't really think it's for you to dictate what a person buy. As long as they're buying food for their household, what they want to eat, they might want a chip. A motherfucker might be on their cycle. You want something sweet when you going through your changes. I mean, I'm just saying.
It says to me that for him to not understand what $1,000 would look like in groceries, and he got a lot of fucking people in his family if he getting $1,000. So
exactly.
You got a lot of damn kids. The part of it, though, he clearly is a person who has not been to the grocery store lately. You know what I'm saying? So he's not completely aware of what shit costs at the grocery store. So for however many fucking kids he got where it's $1,000 worth of food stamps that he'll get, a damn gallon of milk is $4. So what are we talking about right now? He's so disconnected.
We talking about some bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, I don't get it. You know, and then who are you to call having a steak a luxury? That ain't a luxury. You know what I'm saying? I would understand if he said caviar or, you know, something so rare and special that it would seem like a luxury.
And everybody's luxury is different.
That's very true.
And what you might think is a luxury, I'm thinking, shit, we have that shit every day. I mean, everybody is different. So what you might think, oh, shit, I can't wait to get up on this, I'm thinking I'm cool on it. You know what I'm saying? Then
right.
I love the point you had made earlier when we had spoke about this. We had discussed, you know, what the show was going to be about. You made up a good point. Tax dollars are funding the food stamp program. Tax dollars are funding his wages. Maybe he needs to be restricted to what he's able to buy with his paycheck, since that is the tax dollars that's paying for it. I'm just saying.
Exactly. I bet his tune would change then. You know what I'm saying? If we had to say, if tax dollars, if you're being paid in any form, whether it's TANF benefit, food stamps, or whatever, then you can't buy, quote, luxury items. So if you're a senator, a congressman, anybody getting any money from the state, you can't buy chips, you can't buy cookies, you can't buy steak, shrimp, whatever. And then did you tell me, too, that they're banning, that like they don't want them to be able to buy organic products either?
Yeah, I had read a little bit. It wasn't in the same article. It was a different one, that organic is not necessary because it's more expensive. I thought the whole food stamp program was to provide nutritional food to families that were not as privileged to be able to buy them on their own. And what people fail to realize is that it's people out here that work every day just like anyone else, but their income is not sufficient, so they're still able to get food stamps. So just because you get food stamps, don't mean you sitting on your ass all day eating up chips,
right,
soda, and eating steak and shit. It's people that go out here and work every damn day and still are able to receive food stamps because their income is just not enough to provide for their home wholly. So it's just disgusting, and I don't know what the fuck going on with Missouri. I don't know. I'm ready to jump ship on their ass.
I mean, it's just like, it seems like for a while we've talked about it, and it was been a situation where it was race relations, where that was potentially the issue. You know what I'm saying? But to me, it's broader than that. It's a war on poor people.
Yeah, because the thing about it is they fail to realize that African Americans are not the only ones that receive food stamps. So if that's the point of view that he's looking at, it's going to be a lot of his family members, friends, associates that are going to be hurt or disgusted and not benefit the decision that he's made. You know what I'm saying?
So where is this at? Are they having to vote on? Because I know it's not law yet. So will it be voted on? Where is it at? Is it a bill or something that he's proposing?
He's proposing it to be a law. And the way it's sounding is that it's going to pretty much be a go. Like, Yeah, it's not going to be too hard for it to go through.
You know what's going to happen? I mean, people will think of a way to get around this, right? So if I'm really pressed and I get stamped and I want chips and cookies and all that shit, we'll figure out a way to make that
I mean,
work.
Just like you weren't able to purchase hot food with food stamps. But you can buy hot food with food stamps, like Hunt's Pizza. You could go to the corner store, your convenience store, whoever carries Hunt's Pizza, and have them cook it and prepare it for you, and you pick it up and be able to pay food, you know, use food stamps to pay for it, because Hunt's has made that agreement that we want these people to be able to purchase our food fresh and hot. So
yeah,
it's going to get deeper than what he's trying to make it to be, and it's like you're wasting your time. There's so much other shit going on in Missouri, my dude, that you need to be focusing on and passing laws for, that right now I feel like you just on some old bullshit.
It'll be interesting to see exactly where this, you know, where this goes, because it just really is nonsensical, actually. And like you said, Missouri has so many other issues that we could be dealing with, but, you know, not to get into political or political party bashing, but because really when you look at it, Republicans and Democrats, they're so similar that you can't even really tell them apart, honestly. You know what I mean? And I think we'll see that, you know, when it all pans out, that they're really no different, honestly. That they really are no different. And you can't really say that one party is doing more for the country than the other, because all of them have been there, and both parties have been in power at different times, and most of these things do not always benefit. You know, when they're in power and they're making policies and doing things, they don't really benefit the people, but they do typically benefit the 1%, generally.
Exactly.
Now, you may have a policy here and there that may hit at my level or your level. When I say that, we're working people, you know, working class people. We ain't have silver spoons in our mouths. We don't have none of that going on. We still have to get up and go to work every day. Every now and again, we'll get a break. But it's always at the end or tail end of some other thing that benefited the upper class, in my opinion. I could be wrong, but that's just been my life experience, you know. So, interesting, Rick, my dude. We'll see exactly where that goes. What else was in the news? Some good news. You all remember the Jenna 6 situation that happened. I can't remember what year that was, but Jenna 6. Remember, this was down in Louisiana, where the school had a tree. Black people couldn't sit under the tree, and the whites didn't want them sitting under the tree. Blacks was like, listen, fuck that. We better go sit under the tree. Got into a big fight. They did not initiate, the African-Americans in this incident did not initiate the situation, but they fought and won and beat that ass. So Michael Bell was one of the young men who was involved in that situation, and he ended up getting some very serious time. And when this story went national, there was a movement, a Jenna 6 movement, and a lot of people went down there, protested, you know, converged on the city. Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, you know, the normal dudes, you know, that's a whole nother topic. But the normal dudes were down there, and everybody else went down as well. And Michael Bell was one of the kids that came out of that, because afterwards, because of all the attention that was on that situation, he felt pressure to please everybody. So much so, unfortunately, that he attempted suicide. Because the pressure was just so much for him. Fortunately, he was unsuccessful in his suicide attempt, and I'm happy to say that he graduated college. He graduated college, got a degree in education. He graduated from Southern University, and so he's making progress. And you know what it is? It's interesting because in life, you may think, oh, I'm at the worst place that I could possibly be in my life. And if you just give yourself a little more time, you have the opportunity to make it. And from the bottom, you can come to the top. And Michael Bell's story is one that highlights that transition or that journey that we all have in life. So, you know, congratulations to Michael Bell and his journey back to the top. Way to go, my brother. You did that. You remember that? Sure. Went on the Jenna 6. What was that? That was like, I'm trying to look at, find it in this article. You remember that widow?
I do remember it. And it was a while ago, but it wasn't as long as people might think because of the situation. It wasn't like in the 50s or 60s or nothing like that. It was like, I want to say early 2000s, late. I don't know. But I know that it was one of those things that happened like, what? We still got that going on right now?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I remember it because it was appalling just to hear about what took place. And people just need to realize that shit still happens. Like, it's still schools that are segregated. It's still proms that are split black and white. I mean, people need to really know what's going on in 2015. Do your research. Know your history. One of the things that I did do last week when we took the spring break and we didn't do the show, me and my kids took a mini bay and we went to Memphis, Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
and we visited the National Civil Rights Museum. And, okay, my ignorance set in. I had not realized that the weekend we went marked the anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King's death. So it was a whole march that went on. It was a tribute concert, singing, live music. It was beautiful. It was a lot going on that weekend. And just to step foot in that museum and see what was going on and read what was going on, it just hurts you. It just breaks your heart. And to know that some of those things are still in place to this day. And people, and I say it's ignorance because people just feel like it's not that time. So we've moved past that. Just because the years have passed, the ignorance has not. It has stayed stagnant, and it is stubborn, and it has been fed. So it is getting bigger, and it needs to move in a different direction, and people just need to realize what's going on. So if y'all ever get a chance, I mean, it was a four-hour drive, people, if you're coming from Missouri, from the St. Louis, St. Charles area, to like 4 hours. Go down there and visit the museum. It's reasonable to get into it, and it's worth the money. I spent $39 for me and my two daughters to get in, and when I say we was there for 4 hours, I mean, we was there for 4 hours, and we probably could have did another two, really. And it's worth the time, it's worth the money, and it's just go down there. Just make a day of just that. Amazing.
I mean, because I've heard it said before, if you don't know your past, you don't really know your future. You really don't. And you're bound to make some of the same mistakes that you've made. That have been made in the past. And there are things to learn, you know, from our past. The civil rights movement, there were plenty of things that we learned from, you know, utilized from that movement here in Ferguson, you know, trying to organize and do things like that. Although, I would say now, what made our protest and our march and our movement here, and still makes our march and movement here a little more problematic, is that there's so many. Like, there's not one head. Now, he was easier then because you had Martin Luther King, you had Malcolm X, you know what I'm saying? So you had a leader. Now, we don't really have a leader. And the one who our country has commissioned as our leader, like the Al Sharptons and the Jesse Jacksons, you know, no disrespect to them and the work that they've done, but they're not as relevant. Like, young people don't even relate to them at all. And I think a lot of it has to do with how they've related to young people themselves. You know what I'm saying? I don't think they completely understand or have embraced them in the movement, which makes it hard to consolidate and channel all the energy that we have. And then there's so many groups doing separate things. Like, we can't all just kind of come together and have, even if you don't have one leader, but just have one agenda. That's what I'm saying. We don't all have one agenda that we can put forth and say this is what we want and that we're speaking for the collective group, you know. So that makes us a little fragmented in our struggle, you know. And it makes it hard, too, to be impactful because if you got 100 people over here saying this and 10 over here and 90 over here and 3 over here, like it's just so fragmented. People don't know, you know, who to look at or what to look at to say, okay, yeah, this is the message that this movement is saying and this is what they want. So, yeah, there's plenty that we can learn from the civil rights movement, especially particularly on how to organize. particular, because, you know, when things popped off in Ferguson, I went to a few of those meetings, and it was interesting to see the strategies and the dynamics that go into organizing a protest. And the problem, too, now with the protest, folks now ain't not violent. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no turn the other cheek and unleash a dog on me and, you know, all of that. So the mentality is different as well, you know. So it's definitely worth the journey to understand and get, you know, to be made aware of your past and to educate yourself about it. It's all there, you know what I'm saying? Put it in a museum.
Absolutely.
Put it in a book. It's hidden knowledge from us. You know, speaking of Ferguson, Widow, Mary Ann Twitty, she's the Ferguson City Court Clerk.
Mm-hmm.
She's the Ferguson City Court Clerk.
Well, she was.
She said she's a victim. She was. She said she's
was.
A victim.
She thinks.
What you got on that, Widow?
Well, Mary Ann, because fuck her last name too, Twitty. Fuck you. Mary Ann was the head court clerk in Ferguson. And she was the one that was sending out the emails that was coming off racist. And from her 12-minute little interview that was posted online, she states several things that just caught my attention as "you dumb bitch." We'll start off with that I'm not racist. I had, I don't know what happened, a black sister. What? That's like saying, I ain't racist. I done had some black dick. What that mean? You just like the dick. I don't understand what you mean. You know, I don't even understand what the head mean. What happened to your sister? Did she turn white? I don't understand. She no longer your sister. I don't get that. And she also state that she was a sacrificial lamb, that they used her for an example because she was the head court clerk for 19 years. Well, Wayne, you are correct. You just put your words in the wrong order. Let me help her because I don't think she understood what she meant. She meant to say, I was the head court clerk in Ferguson, so I should have been an example, is what she really meant to say. She just put the word example in the wrong place in her sentence. And it's okay. Everybody didn't learn proposition and where to place their commas and, you know, semicolons when they was in English. You know, some people slept through their part, so I give her that. But you're a dumb bitch. And for her to sit there and say, oh, I don't regret the emails. They were jokes. I regret them getting out, but I'm not racist.
Wait.
Huh?
This is what she said. I mean, she just sounds stupid. And she looks stupid as fuck. All this deep, dark tanning and shit. Anyway.
She can't afford it no more. She can't afford
it.
We'll see what she really looks like come to winter. All this shit going to fade away.
Now, this lets you know how stupid she is. She said, I found the emails to be funny, not because of their racial nature. Funny as in humor-wise? Yes. Not because it was racist or biased, just funny because it was just funny joke-wise. What? The punchline in the joke is about the race.
Exactly.
And the implications of that. So what are you talking about? She said, I feel bad because that's not, I don't want people to look at me and say, she sent those racist jokes out because she's racist or biased. I'm not. Then why the fuck would you send the shit? If it was offensive to
you're sorry because you can't get another job right now. So you're sorry, like you said, that they got out. And when she said that, they were just funny. Well, like you said, the punchline, bitch, was racist. And that's what made it funny to you, humorous to you, and whomever else you were sending it to, whoever forwarded it to you. And the whole interview was just, it was only 12 minutes, but it felt like it was about 30 because it was just disgusting and it was appalling. And she was serious. That's the hard, that's the part that got me.
She was
serious,
she was.
Y'all.
And her expression on it, y'all. You know how when people telling a sad story and then they get the violin music in the background? Like, I almost heard that shit while she was talking. She's like, it took me a while to get over the feeling of being raped and being thrown under the bus. Bitch,
mm-hmm.
Did you say that?
I was blackballed is what she said. I was blackballed.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Mm-hmm. What? You just stupid.
Happened?
You stupid. You know what I mean? You just stupid. I didn't mean anything by it. Then if he didn't mean anything by it, what did you mean by sending it? What did you mean? What were you trying to perpetuate by sending it? You understand what I'm saying? Knowing that, you look old. How old is she? She old. She was old. Shit. So you know better. You know what the implications are if you do something like that, right? Don't you?
I guess not, because she was getting away with it for so long. Now she a sacrificial lamb, and she's been blackballed, and people want to hire. They're telling her, we know you are a great worker, Marianne. We would love to hire you, but we just can't.
Well,
bitch, that means there's something more to it than what you thought, huh? Because people are looking at it differently than you're thinking about it. And like she said, her black friends have come to her and told her, we know you're not racist. We don't know where they're getting this from. I want to hear from the black friend. So if y'all out there, if y'all listening, and you are Marianne's black friend, 646-716-5470. Please call us.
Yeah. Anyway, bye-bye, Marianne. And good luck to you here.
Bye,
good
girl.
Good luck to you. You know what? The plus side, though, in Ferguson, they just had their election. Turnout wasn't that good, y'all. 29% turnout in light of all the shit that has happened in Ferguson, 29% turnout. Although it was an improvement over what it was previously, but 29% turnout, really, y'all? Okay. But there were three African-Americans voted in on the city council. We'll see what that pans out to be for Ferguson, because all my skin folk ain't my kin folk. You understand? So now, just because you brown in there don't mean that you're going to do something for the people of Ferguson. So now you really got to put your money where your mouth is. You got the vote. Now, y'all in Ferguson, hold them accountable. Hold them accountable. You're there. I voted for you. Now do what you said you were going to do. That's all I got to say about it. Listen, let's see. What we want to talk about next? Oh, the big, big story. We were talking about things that still happen in our society. Walter Scott in South Carolina was shot in the back four times, shot at eight times, but hit four times in the back by a South Carolina police officer. The police officer initially said that Scott took his taser. He pulled him over, and Scott took his taser and ran off with it. But little did this dude know, somebody was recording it. Not only somebody, but also the dash cam. So you make up this story, say this man took your taser. The video captured initially the media went with the police officer's story. The young man who recorded it originally attempted to take it to the police department to give it to them to say, hey, look, I got some evidence. This is what happened. They told him, have a seat and wait. And I guess his spidey senses kicked in. And he like, yeah, no, let me go take this to the family. And that's how the video came out, because I guarantee, had he given it to the police department, the truth would not have been told. I just don't think so. And thank God he was there. The question I have is, what does this say about all the cases that we've heard where the police give an account, witnesses give a different account, and it always lands on the side of the officers? Again, I'm not saying all officers are bad. I'm not saying that at all. But because of the high level of responsibility and authority that's given to police officers, it don't take but a few to disparage your whole profession, to get where everybody's looking at officers as sidelines. And I know officers personally, and all of them are not jackasses and are not stupid, and they're not out to kill people, and they're not out to kill African Americans, and they're not out to kill minors, and you know, they're not all out to do that. But damn, why does this keep fucking happening? Why?
And with that being said, people are just assholes, black, white, brown, whatever. But the thing about it is, us as humans, when we fuck up, we do try to cover our ass, no matter what our ethnicity, race, creed, whatever, we try to cover our ass. So the officer thought he was covering his ass by changing up the story. And then when they broke that, not only was there eyewitness, this eyewitness had a video to go with it. You felt what, stupid? You feel a little foolish right now. Because people just need to start being accountable for their actions. If you fuck up, just say you fucked up. Like this morning, my friend was rear-ended, car totaled at 4:30 this morning. It was a hit and run. Car nowhere to be found. Don't even know how the car made it. Based on how their car looked, I'm shocked that the other car was able to keep going. And you don't think about how you leave other people, what position you leave them in, their families in, their friends in. You just got to become accountable for your actions and just think about if the role was switched. How would your family feel? You shot 8 times in the back. What would your wife be doing right now? Your mother, your father, kids, whomever you have that love you, that's dear to you. How would they feel in that situation? And the person who did it lied and said, I was protecting myself, but they tried to take something from me. I mean, sorry for your loss.
Here's the thing.
I mean,
what I wonder is that's what I'm going to get at. What were you thinking? How, why did you shoot at this man? Because according to the way, and the video showing it, the dash cam, he pulled the man over, told him, the man tried to get out the car, he told him to stay in the car. He got back in the car. Then Scott got out and ran. So you chase him. Did you too mean to pull out your taser and accidentally pull out your gun? Maybe. I don't know. The fuck? That happened to Scott. The other thing in this Scott situation, what his family is saying is they think he ran because he thought he had a child support warrant out on him. Damn, that's a whole nother show topic in itself. Is it that dire, my brothers, that because of a child support warrant? But you know what, Scott probably didn't even think that it would escalate to this because he's thinking it's child support, can't kill me for no child support. Well, shit, my brother. And at the time when he pulled him over, he didn't know that. He pulled him over because of a broken tail light, a brake light that was out on his car. So all the stuff that came out after the fact is irrelevant. He didn't know that when he pulled that man over. And I'm not saying he shot Scott because he's black. Race don't come into everything, but what I can say is he shot Scott because he was incompetent and stupid.
Just so people know, we're not saying that him pulling him over was not warranted. We got a tail light out. You're going to get pulled over. Stay in your vehicle. That's what they want you to do. Keep your hands where they can see them. Then you run, you're going to get chased. Don't fucking run. I mean, I don't know how many times our love has gave y'all a list from police officers that she personally knows, that we personally know, has given you a list of do's and don'ts. And the don'ts are so much more than the do's. You know what I'm saying? And we've given this list. Don't fucking run. So I'm not saying that man's death is warranted. I said the pullover was warranted. His death was fucking ridiculous and uncalled for. We have to be accountable. Do what you're supposed to do. If you got motherfucking warrants out there, it's so many times they have amnesty come up, take advantage of those programs. Get on payment plans. If you're not working and you got warrants, serve your time in jail. Get that shit off your back. I know it sounds horrible. I know you like just fucked up. But, I mean, it's ways to do this in a way that you can still be here tomorrow.
And, bruh, pay your child support. Not blaming the victim,
really.
Please. We're not saying that.
Not at all.
We are not saying that. But there is some shit that we have to be accountable for. We talked about this show on our show the week before last about what can we do, what accountability do we have in the African-American community or any community as an adult to handle your fucking business so that people can't mess with you for whatever reason. You understand what I'm saying? So not blaming the victim, but there are some things here that are at play. Handle your business and don't let your business handle you. Truly condolences to the Scott family. It was as Widow said, completely unwarranted. You know what I'm saying? And he did some. He did a complete don't, like a huge don't on the list. But that does not warrant being shot in your back four times and then having your death lied about, hoping to get it swept under the rug. You know what I'm saying? So
I thought it was eight times shot.
He shot at him eight times and hit him four times in the back. And so it's like, wow, okay. Now, we talked about do's and don'ts. Now, what happens when you do what you're supposed to do and you're still murdered? What about the lady who called 911 to get the police assistance and was shot and killed by them when she answered her own fucking door? What the fuck?
Miss Yvette Smith down in Texas. I don't know who the gentlemen were to her, but they were in her home. It was two men fighting. And she called police, she called 911 and let them know, hey, I got some men in my house fighting, and I need y'all to come get them. So the operator like, all right. He dispatched out the police, and when he dispatched out the police, he tells them it's two men fighting and there's weapons involved.
Mm-hmm.
Come to find out, that's not what her call said. It's two men fighting, but they're fighting over money. The operator did not say that when he dispatched out the police. He says weapons involved. Okay, so the police officer already on go mode when he gets there. So he goes to the door. Miss Yvette Smith comes out. This happened last year, guys, February 16th of 2014. She comes out her door, and she does exactly everything the officer asks of her to do. And mind you, she is not a suspect. She is not a man. She's the one who made the call, and he asked her to step out on her front porch. So she came out her door. She stepped out on her front porch. She had her hands up, no weapons visible, and he shot her two times and killed her on her front porch.
How many times?
When he made his police report, two. He shot her twice.
Wow.
And when he made the police report, he said it appears she had a weapon. No. When they came to get the body, they're like, she didn't have anything, like nothing that could have even resembled a part of a weapon, so you're a liar. And the officer Willis, well, former officer Willis, he had a lot of issues going on prior. Like, he didn't have issues with a lot of reports being made against him, but, like, psychological issues that they were changing for him at the police department, allegedly changing for him within the police department. As far as, like, the psych test, he wasn't passing them. So they would change his results to make it seem like he was competent to be out there on the streets when he really wasn't, allegedly changing them. Let me say, allegedly changing them, because there is still a lawsuit going on right now. So we're going to use the word allegedly changing them.
Allegedly,
because
I ain't got no fucking money for y'all.
I ain't got no money for y'all shit. And but he was indicted by a grand jury for murder back in June of last year. And now the family is filing, seeking a suit for $5 million. So we will see how that turned out for them.
Wow. Well, hopefully that goes well for them. I mean, that is such a ridiculous situation. It's like you have such an apprehension. It's like, do I call them to help or don't call to help? I mean,
It's so scary.
I mean, wow. That's interesting. You know, you're saying that they cheated on a test for him, the psychological test for this police officer. Allegedly. Y'all allegedly did that shit. But teachers in Atlanta.
It was 12 total, but 11. Oh my God.
Sent to prison for a decade now for changing test scores on a standardized test down in Atlanta.
Did they actually get a decade, or is that still, they have to go back for sentencing? I think they're up to get
some decades. They have to go back for sentencing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Looking at about 20-some-odd years, okay?
Yes.
Up to 20-some-odd years, 11
yes.
folk. Now, what's messed up about this is, one, the mastermind, she fucked around and died, the superintendent. She died of breast cancer in 2013. So she ain't facing this. So the mastermind of this is gone, dead and gone to glory. So you're left with these teachers, all black, who are now going to prison for changing scores on a test. Mind you, And it's a conspiracy charge, okay? A racketeering conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
So, for them to go to prison, okay, one, this makes no sense. What does it serve, really, for them to go to prison for this? I think that them being educators, that there's better use of their skill set than putting them in prison. Secondly, in contrast to this, okay, they're going and looking at jail time, but that other teacher, don't know what city this bitch is in, she admitted to having sex with children, and she got probation. So,
and the thing about this whole teacher scandal is it was 12 teachers. For some reason, only 11 of them are going up to be sentenced for these decades possibly. But these are not the only – these are the black teachers that people need to realize what's going on. It's some white teacher that was involved. And in other states, this has taken place, Washington being one, Oregon being one, Nevada being one. But for some reason, these particular 11 black teachers are being put up for decades for racketeering as if it's a mob. I mean, racketeering, really? That's what y'all get?
So the thing with them, why they're facing charges, is because they didn't plea out and they didn't turn evidence. So let me roll the dice. You see what I'm saying? Let me roll the dice. You know what I'm saying? No snitch rule. You know what I'm saying? I ain't on that shit. But you're going to jail, though. I'm just saying. But it just doesn't seem like a balance to me. It seems like a heavy-handed example that's trying to be made of these people. But at what cost? I mean, I know there's money involved because that was the whole point of changing the test scores. If you have certain test scores, you get money for the students and blah, blah, blah. I get that. It makes you really question more in depth, though, the education system. Like, what is going on where it's education for dollars? You know what I'm saying? I know that costs money to educate students, but it seems like we would, if we look at our country and where we're putting our dollars, as opposed to putting all our dollars to imprison folk, if we put the money into educating folk, then maybe we wouldn't have these issues. You know what I'm saying? Maybe give the teachers the resources that they need so that they can educate these kids, so they can rightfully pass these tests and do what they need to do. If you go to any inner city school, what you will hear, and any inner city public school, you will always hear that there's a resource problem. There's not enough money to do everything that they're wanting to do.
Or needing to do.
It's unfortunate. Exactly. You're right. Let's start there. Just need to do. You know, there were some schools here in St. Louis, the kids didn't even have damn books. You understand? They photocopy and pages out of books. How am I supposed to do my damn homework if I can't even take the book home? You know what I'm saying?
Because
there's
back.
More, like, if I'm doing a homework assignment, I don't just need a list of the questions. Shit, I need the chapters, you know, that led up to the in back of a chapter that had the questions, you know, answer the questions for this chapter, do the matching, fill in the blank, you know, all that stuff. If I don't have the book, you mean the only time I get to hear it is when I was in class, or get a chance to read it was when I was in the class? I'm not going to retain that. It's like it's not even important, really. Is the education of our children really important? I think it's a bigger issue than these teachers cheating on a test. There's a bigger issue. They're just being made
to mean that. It's a snowball effect also.
Mm-hmm.
For the simple fact that if these teachers come from poverty-ridden districts. So what you have is not enough funding for the schools to give the kids what they need, like you said, just textbooks. They don't even have that. So the teacher has their main copy, and then they're giving them photocopies out of that book from the lesson they did that day and saying, go home and do this, you know. And on top of that, you have the resource that's missing, and then you want to give these kids these standardized math testing, saying we're going to put you up against other kids that get textbooks, get to take them home, get to study, and now we're going to put you up against them to do this same test. And when these kids don't do as well on the testing, you know what? We don't need to give y'all more money because y'all are already not doing well. We're going to give it to the schools that already have resources and just keep building on them. and y'all need to figure out what y'all going to do next. And then when the testing comes out, now we got to start taking pay away from the teachers who are already getting paid little. People need to understand, just like we speak about police officers and first responders, teachers are so freaking important to us as people, whoever you are, everyone. Teachers are so important. And just like anybody else, they have homes and households and people they must provide for and people they must secure. And if I'm not getting my right pay because your kids aren't passing these tests, I got to secure my employment. So now it comes, I was here to teach. Now I'm here to keep my job. So at some point, I'm not going to say they lose focus, but they have to transition to a different state of mind. So now what do I need to do to keep my money in my pocket so I can keep a roof over my family's head? So which I need to pass this test? Okay, one is A, three is D, 15 is C. I mean, I'm going to do what I need to do to make sure y'all pass this test so I keep my income coming in, and hopefully we can get funding, and then we can start teaching y'all for real. And what people not understanding is parents – become involved in your kid's school and do not just put their ass on the bus in the morning and make sure they get off the bus in the afternoon. Get involved. See what's going on. If your kids come home with something that's photocopied and they say this is their homework, ask them where the textbook is. What's going on in the school? School, what do we need to do? Do we need to do a marketplace fundraiser? Do we need to do a TJ Pizza fundraiser? What is it that we need to do as parents to make sure that our kids, excuse me, y'all, our kids, our future is being educated? Because everything we spoke about on this show this evening, it starts with the education. Because if people are not, kids are not properly educated, they grow up to be uneducated young adults. They grow up to be ignorant ass old folks who don't know no other way but what they know, and the cycle just keeps repeating itself.
And ignorant ass
so much power.
Ignorant as old folks, you said it. That transitions to this, because you said it starts with education, but it does also, like you said, it starts at home as well. So some of these kids come from really dire situations. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about this bitch in Detroit. She killed her two kids and froze them. Really, bitch? Really?
Really. Really, bitch.
And kill her. I mean,
other kids
was
in the house.
Other kids was in the house. So she killed her 13-year-old and her 9-year-old, put them in the freezer. She had a 17-year-old who was the brother of the 13-year-old. They shared a father. They shared a father. And then there's another child in the household. They so fucking scared, they not talking, because mama killing people and putting them in the freezer. And the only way this came out was because there was a police eviction. That she was being evicted from her home, and they found these babies in the freezer.
In the freezer.
So, yeah.
Listen, because she said that her kids were molesting another family member, so she killed her kids because they were molesting a family member. So you kill them, and I think she killed them like a year apart. So it wasn't like back to back. It's already one sitting in the freezer. And then, like, a year or maybe even, like, 9 months later, because it wasn't immediately, she kills another one and put that one in the freezer. And you just living in the house like that.
Here's the thing. The father of the 13-year-old that was killed and the 17-year-old that was still living, he's now saying in retrospect, I should have stayed in contact more. No shit.
You think?
Dude, my dude, I don't even know what to say about this. It's just sometimes the shit that you hear is so outrageous, and it makes you rage so deeply inside. It's like, forget the justice system for her. Just kill her. Just be done with her. She admitted, she said she did it. Okay, let's just be done with her, because I don't understand. I'm finding it very fucking hard to understand what the fuck you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? I don't get it. I really, really don't get it. So I just wanted to say it out there. These kids are coming from different situations, as Widow said. You don't know what these kids are coming from. Let's all be involved. We all are a community. We're all involved. We should be watching out for each other. The last two things we want to get to. We got 4 minutes left in this show. And real quick, we're just going to bring it up real quick. And really, the last one I want to know. We want to talk about the man shooting shit in his dick. Silicone penis. You got silicone? You're shooting silicone in your penis, my dude? It now weighs 10 pounds, 4 inches in girth, and 10 inches long. Who? What are you doing with all
who
of
you
that?
Fucking?
And why?
Who you fucking?
Nobody. Nobody. Who? And they write my
you
ass. They're trying to... My dude. And it's not just in his penis, but he's doing it in his testicles as well. What is wrong with you? And his objective is he wants society to accept silicone injections for men like they do for silicone breasts for women.
Oh.
My dude. My dude. You crazy. That's all on that. You crazy. Last story. Nelly was arrested in Tennessee for guns, weed, and meth. Wait. Meth? Really? Nelly?
Okay. What we're going to say is he's allegedly had these things. Allegedly. And it was on his tour bus. We're not going to say that Nelly necessarily had these things. They were on his tour bus, which he was on also. And like his attorney said, it's going to come out that he didn't have any parts of that. And right now we're going to take that because... we're going to say he's smarter than that. He has too much to lose to be involved in that. And we're going to say that he didn't fucking know that it was on his tour bus. Somebody else brought that bullshit on, and they done fucked up the church's money. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to allegedly.
I'm saying, my dude.
Nelly, do better. Keep better company. Across the board, everybody, keep better company. Know who your circle
is.
That motherfucker ain't got to be big. My circle is very fucking small, and it's lovely.
My dude. Well, y'all, allegedly, these motherfuckers are crazy. Allegedly. There's a lot of craziness going on in this city. You hear what I'm saying? So go ahead, Widow, and close us out, and we'll wrap this up and keep it pushing. I can't with these people. I can't.
What I want to say is we need to be more supportive in our own households. We need to be more protective and more selective of who we let around our family members, and we need to be more involved in what's going on at home and stop worried about what's going on in your fucking news feed or your Facebook or your Instagram or your Twitter or your Snapchat. Whatever you got going on, be more involved with what you got going on in your household. If you don't have kids, you got siblings, you got cousins, whomever it is, just take an interest. Even if you just call them up once a week, if they're not in the household with you, and ask them, how's it going? What's going on in your life? How's school going? If you ask a question, you will get an answer, and that answer might surprise you. So just be more involved and become accountable for the things you do. If you don't know what's going to happen, the result might be shady or shaky. Don't do the shit. People, be here tomorrow. We want to hear y'all next Sunday. We want callers to call in. We want y'all to hear our voice next Sunday. When it comes to this education, people need to know education is so fucking powerful, and it is so important, and everyone needs it. I say I was going to be a career student to the day I fucking die, and I mean that shit, y'all. You're never too old to learn, and to learn something new every day is remarkable. No matter how simple or how major it might be, it's just a marvelous thing. Y'all just need to start just being supportive. Support the person to your left and your right. Ask them that they need help. Give a person a smile. Give out a hug. When was the last time you gave a person a compliment just to give them a compliment? Not to be ignorant, not to try to be shady, not to try to get something from them, not to try to get no ass. Just a simple compliment for a person can take them a long fucking way. And people, live out loud. Do what makes you happy. Because when you're happy, you're able to spread that. That energy is so important. If y'all don't take anything else away, take away education is important, and be accountable for your actions. And before I go, I want to let you guys know that Miss Susan Hedges did win the purse from last month when we did our drawing. We do have another one coming up, and it's going to be more of a trivia thing. So when y'all have something y'all want to do, we get back to the shows, and we will be asking questions, and you all can win some lovely gifts. We want to thank you all for listening. We love our supporters.
So, internet buzz part two. Been a lot going on in the news feed. What I would say to you all is stay involved, stay knowledgeable about what's going on around you, and read between the lines. Don't just take what's being said to you. My husband and I, we look at the news and we dissect that shit down to the wire, because everything that they say to you is not really the story. What you learn most from people is not, when you learn from them, it's not from what they say, it's from what they don't say. That's the interesting part. Stay involved, y'all. Be the change you want to see. Be the change you want to see. Enjoy your Sunday, y'all. Peace out.